few weeks ago, I came up here during worship, right, or after worship, and I had this very crazy talk. Like, you know, be real, it's crazy talk, but I was very intense about worship. I had this very, this thing is like, you know, we want revival. Right, Jeff? We want revival. We're praying for revival. God, send revival, send revival. And then the question was, but are we ready to give him worship? Are we able to give him the worship that he requires? You know, and to me, that the whole essence of this whole thing that we do, whether it's now on earth or it's in heaven, will be about worship. Your worship will dictate your relationship you have with God. Your worship, that's why I say this, and I don't say it very mockingly. I say, show me your worship, I'll tell you where you are with Jesus. Like, you know, your worship defines your relationship with Jesus. There's a fragrance, there's an aroma of your worship, you know, and that's what will come forth. And people will go, it's like, yeah, I know where you've been with God. I know what you have done with God. I know you have had this time with God, you know. And it's funny that we want to sing the songs. We want to do the worship. We want to. I came from a Christian Catholic background, right? I had to sing like the choir master sang. Really? And if we have more instruments than we had in the Catholic Church. We had basically maybe an organ, a guitar, and best case, we had this old violin, was really a fiddle. But, you know, for all the high songs and all that, they had the violin. And you had to sing that, but you had to sing it and shut when it was. And I always wonder, it's like, God, you brought me from there where it was like, behave yourself. You know, it's like, hey, put your hands together. My grandma would pinch me on the side and say, like, you know. So I was like, okay. And like, don't mess around. And then you basically went to the time where your hands were half lifted. You know, how many of you all know that? Like, half lifting is like, yeah, I'm here, we're good. Yeah, let's do this. And then it's like full lifted, like, you know. And then it's like just tears streaming down. And nowadays I say I just prefer to be on the carpet and lie down. You know, that's my easiest way that I love to worship is like just stay down. Stay down. You know, on your face, stay down. And you can go to the slide. So this whole thing is basically become is like, you know, worship. We doing worship every week. In all essence, in our work we're worshiping, in our singing we're doing, and worship is basically now supposed to become this, the mainstay of every church. The church is supposed to be a worshiping church. We call it a prophetic church. Your worship will also be prophetic. And, you know, and there is where we have to kind of hone in, why are we worshiping? And over time we have taught people worship, and we have understood worship, and like, you know, I understood it as a Catholic, I understood it as an evangelical, I understood it as a Pentecostal, you know, and we've come in different ways. Everyone is very different how we worship. I cannot expect you to look like me and worship like me. One day there will be spiritual offspring of mine who will have an essence of how I understand worship, but will develop their worship with a different characteristic to God. You see, and so this is where we are as a church. Why I tell you this is because it's not about one person, two people, three people. It's us worshiping and bringing this unique essence of God. You know, your sufferings that you worship, or like, you know, when you bring to worship, has a very unique aroma in heaven. And put all of us together in this room, we bring this whole smell to heaven, a beautiful smell that Jesus goes and smells and says, I want to be there. That's what we want to bring. Any one of you not bringing that aroma kind of, you know, defeats the purpose that as a church we're coming together to that place. And that's what worship is. So I call this worship continuum because I don't know when it stops. Because, you know, of his kingdom, there is no end. That's what the Bible says. We use it for Christmas, right? And we say, it's like, of his kingdom, there is no end. And when you think of it, of his worship, because he's the King eternal, of his worship, there will be no end. And this is ongoing. And right now, there are elders throwing their crowns down and worshiping God because they've seen a new part of him where they have never seen. It's in the Bible, Revelation 4. And basically now it's like, why are they worshiping still? They made it to heaven, right? Everybody's trying to get you to heaven, get you saved, everything. And, you know, and then you're just saying, it's like, but yeah, okay, we worshiped before we had the service, we preached and all. But this is all that they're doing in heaven. They're just looking at Jesus on the throne. And they're basically throwing the crowns down and they're worshiping him. And they get up and they get themselves proper possibly again. And then they do this again. That's what they're doing in heaven. This is what you're signed up to do. You know, I don't know whether they told you this, you know. That's why sometimes it's good to read the book, read the Bible, and get to the book of Revelation where you understand, wait, that's what I'm signing up for? Oh, they told you that you're going to have victory, you're going to have like all the good things of heaven. Oh, they didn't tell you that, oh, you'll only be doing worship. Oh. And I don't even know whether you'll only be doing worship, but everything you do will be unto the King. It will be unto him that you love. And you'll understand love like greatly when you get there. You know, right now we struggle to understand love. We struggle to understand worship. We struggle because we have a limited understanding of what it is. So I call this worship continuum because it will be continuous, right? And so I said, it's okay, like how do we break down worship, right? What the New Testament says about worship. And so this is Jesus having this conversation with the woman at the well, you know, and this is what he's saying. A time will come. However, indeed, it is already here. So everyone is trying to wait till you get to heaven, but the time is already here. This is him 2,000 years ago saying it is already here. How much more relevant it is for you and me. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking just such people as these as his worshipers. Okay? So it's already here. The time, when do you worship? Now. Now is worship, you know. And so God is searching for like true worshipers and spirit and truth. And so it's funny, it's like, what is the spirit doing? You know, what is the pneuma of God doing? What is that? You know, when you feel the breath of God, do what he tells you to. It will be easier. You know, you don't have to say, if I tell you lift your hands up, means, yeah, okay, lift your hands up, but how high you lift your hands up, it's up to you. Oh, I'm lifting it in my head. I'm worshiping in my head. Hey, if it works for you, if that's what the Spirit of God is saying, be honest to the Spirit of God. Go with that. Don't make a mockery about what you say, because sometimes with us saying, we take away from what God wants. And we are never really doing what God wants, but we're saying all the right things. You see, worship is not about that. Worship is about you communing with the Spirit of God. Worship in spirit. Okay, so get that first thing right. Worshiping in spirit. What is the Holy Spirit telling me to do right now? How am I singing this song? Oh, you can sing it loud. Oh, I can sing it in my mind. Is that what the Holy Spirit is telling me? I'm loud. You know, even after my surgery on my throat, I'm still trying to. I was like, wait, I'm not loud enough. I was like, my PMPO, my boombox is lower. I was like, I could go higher. You know, but that's what my heart is. I've always been that kind of like, you know, you want to be lavish, you want to be loud. Because I used to go for football games. Next day, I didn't have a voice. I cheered that team. I would say, kill. Okay. Yeah. How many of you all know that's not the right thing to say? Nobody told me that. I came from India and I went to a football game in Oklahoma. And I was shouting, kill! Yeah. And everybody high-fived me more than anybody else. That tells you what was in people's heart. That's how crazy it is, because that's what they want. It is the gladiator sport. So, you know, when now they tell you about the tag football and the touch football, yeah, that's where we may be going to. So it's, yeah. Sorry, it was not part of all this, but yeah, it is. So my thing is like the spirit is very important. How you this thing. It's like, so your style, everybody has a style how they worship. Like if you get want to watch, sometimes just, you know, if you want, one day we'll have video of our worship services. And at that time you will, yeah, you will have video. Yes, we will, Jim. Jim saying no. No, we're going to have videos. We're going to have this because they're going to see it like different time zones and all. How's John going to watch it? He wants to see it. John is always interested to see what's happening. If you've not understood John, it's very funny, John. You'll see John like, oh, like, yeah, yeah, let's watch that. He wants to see you, and we'll all basically be that. And there'll be these videos, but this video is like how everybody worships very differently. And you'll say, that's interesting. It'll be like, you know, okay. But it is what it is. I know, it's just. So just go to the next slide. Hey, I even got a pointer. You know, I've not used this pointer in forever. I was like, I do have a pointer. I used to have even a green pointer, you know. And it's like, okay, Alan laughed when I put the slide up. He's like, oh my God, we have slides now? I was like, yeah, we have slides and all. So this is like, I just put the Greek side of it and everything up there for you to understand. It's like, what is this? Like, you know, just let's keep this simple. Because even there was another verse which we say, as it is in heaven, so on earth. Worship, how it is in heaven, we want it on earth. Not only just we want the healing which is in heaven, we want on earth. We want the worship that is in heaven on earth. Once we understand that, then everything that is in heaven, because this is what is happening in heaven, this is priority in heaven, worship. That comes on earth, automatically everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in heaven is worship. And that automatically translates on earth. You have every authority over every sickness and disease. That is your authority. So I just went with the simple thing, right? And so I goes like through, okay? But coming is an I, and now is, that's what they say, when the through. So I was like, okay, let's stick with this through. And then I was like, okay, what does worship mean, right? So through and worship. Spirit we understand, right? Now, have you understood, like I'm saying, is whatever the Spirit of God communicates to you, you feel, you hear something or something, that will be like the Spirit of God taking. So now just to understand what is the truth, what is the true part of it, right? So true is this word. They use it aletinos, it can be aletheia. This is the key word. According to this, it basically means the full revelation of God's faithfulness. Worship me in spirit and truth. What is God's faithfulness for your life? Right? We understand spirit. What is it now in truth? Okay? And so then they basically go on to say this meaning is something of the Greek meaning of real, but it is the real because it is the full revelation of God's faithfulness. Okay. What is God's faithfulness to you look like? I was in a life of sin. I was in a life of drugs. God saved me, gave me a way out. Revelation number one. Okay? Can that revelation increase? Hey, God raises people, like, you know, and heals people. Revelation number two. Has that revelation increased? Okay? And one of the other persons I'm basically going to, like, you know, go to back to is Mary of Bethany, right? So when Mary of Bethany, you got to understand, put yourself in that time, she must have heard Jesus is a good man. Revelation number one. The next thing, he's a teacher. He's a rabbi. Hey, so that means, you know, there's more validation and a better understanding of who he is. He's healing the sick. Okay? He's healing the sick. So, we have an advanced revelation. When her brother dies, Lazarus dies, there's this Jesus who says, Lazarus, come forth. He raises the dead. The revelation increases of who this man Jesus is, right? And then when you see, understand like what Mary of Bethany did, and we'll go into it, is that she believed Jesus to be her husband when she basically broke that alabaster box on his feet. That was her dowry. She poured it on him. And she's like, you know, said, hey, as a church, that is our relationship as a bride of Christ with the bridegroom. And we'll look at that. And it's like, hey, is this what it looks like? Our revelation of who Jesus is to us. Or we can be happy with the first stop. I got saved in so-and-so year. He brought me, and I'm living a Christian life. I'm living a good moral life. And I never want to upgrade from that revelation. Perfect. That's a choice you make. The next thing would be, hey, Jesus heals the sick. I can pray for the sick because of the goodness of God. He's given me the power, and I can step into that. And all that, you know, Jesus said, I can do, I can do. That's an upgrade of revelation. This is where we are at. Worship will be a continuous revelation. It will be a continuum revelation. This revelation of who Jesus is what the elders are looking at and throwing their crowns down. They're saying, hey, I thought I knew everything. These crowns are representing of everything you know on your mind, everything you know, like in your head knowledge and head space. And you're basically then taking it and you're just throwing it down. This is even reality in heaven, not on earth. How much more our crowns have to go? How much more our crowns have to just fall down and we have to just throw it? You know, it's funny because my mother-in-law had some friends come over, and the first thing they said is like, hey, your mother-in-law like talks about you like, you know, and puts so many crowns on your head. And instantly in my heart was the first thing is, but all those crowns I throw before you, Jesus. And I was like, why am I saying something like this in my heart? And I was like, I guess that's how it is. You know, and you have to go into that to understand is like, question the things of your heart and be true to who God is in your heart, that Spirit of God. And in that, you will have the freedom. You know, by saying or looking free, you don't have the freedom. So in this process, right, of revelation, there is a new wine coming to the body of Christ, right? And what we are trying to do is take this new wine and put it in this old wine skin that is set in its ways and whose basic identity is in its ways. And all your security is in your way. And you're saying, right, Jesus, I want this revival. I want this. I want this. But Lord, I'm set in my ways. I'm rigid. I'm not budging. I don't want this video, right, Jim? I don't want this video. Hey, we're being honest here. We're being honest. And I'm not picking on Jim. He knows that. Like, you know, because it's this is where our stretching is. You see, because we are so used to it. How would I look on video worldwide? Really? You know, I was like, would I look like 20 pounds larger than I am? Hey, I'm light inside. Because I have the Spirit of God. You know, that's it. That's my identity. That's my reality. You know, whatever I step on the scale is when they tell me, it's like, okay. Hey, light of God is in me, and that light is weighing that much. Awesome, we're good. You know, but that's how we have to think. We have to process things in that way and say, it's like, hey, this is what we are, right? And so it's like you think about it, and so this old wineskin, and all of us have a certain portion or all the old wineskin, and this is where the challenge is. I don't want you to feel like, you know, when I gave that word, right, there was that, the word we had was called a chastisement. Okay, it sounded really bad, right? The word chastisement. If you want the audio, don't ask me for it. But I did listen to it. I did listen to it. And I didn't feel that, what do you say, that like I was not trying to, like, you know, chastise people. But it just came with that intensity, you know. And so that when I'm saying that is that God's not wanting to chase you. Like how Alan was singing and then he was saying, come closer, come a little closer. God's trying to draw you. He's drawing your attention. He's bringing you to this. And so when we talk about this worship, it's with that understanding. I can preach to you many things. I can talk about many things, good stories. You know, I used to get messages about Reader's Digest. That's what I grew up in the Catholic Church, was the priest would take the Reader's Digest, read the story, and they were good stories. I'm being honest. I felt I was morally very good. We had a good time at church, and we went home. You know, but that's how it is. But you will now understand worship differently, because we have to gain an understanding of what is this new wine, what is this new wine skin. You see, and this is where the challenge is. Okay, so when we get to that, when I go into this Mary of Bethany thing, you'll understand some of these things would be like, maybe I need to change that. Do what he tells you to do. That's all Jesus said. Do what he tells you to do. Hey. You know, we try to give people, these are the 20 don'ts. You know, welcome to church. This is the 20 don'ts, and this is what we believe in. And now you have to believe what we believe in. And that's why I expect you to look like me. I expect you to do the things like me. How is that possible? My background is so different and so varied than everybody else in this room. Yours is so different and so unique, and your perfume that you bring to Jesus is so beautiful. Why would I tell you to be like me? You know? I want you to be like a Christian Dior or whatever the perfumes are. I don't even know their names. It's like, the one I use is called Amouage. It smells like the Middle East all in one bottle. That's how mine is. It's like, you know, and it stays. This is the kind of like perfume that Mary of Bethany poured out on Jesus' feet. It was Middle Eastern. It stayed. No wonder I love my perfume. It is what it is. Go to the next slide. But then I'm just trying to give you a broad understanding of what I'm talking about and why this becomes so personal and can change your wineskin, can change your world, can change your understanding of who this Jesus is to you. You know, all came from different backgrounds, but this Jesus wants to show you himself very differently. So then the main thing we're talking about is worship, right? So we basically go with this, the word is called proskynio. Okay, pros basically means stewards. Now, if Jesus is on the throne, right? This is Jesus on the throne. I'm towards him, right? I'm facing him. Now, if I take my phone and I'm like this and I'm looking at my phone, am I still towards Jesus? This is what happens in church. I'm on my phone and I'm still worshiping. I'm in the same room. And I'm considered that I'm worshiping. I can go to the back of this room and I'm still worshiping. Really? Are you really worshiping him? Are you looking even towards him? Just throwing it out there. Pros, towards him who is on the throne. Can I still be towards him? Yeah, you know, a little tangentially off, but I'm still in general direction. Yeah, I'm looking at my phone. Yeah, okay, Jesus. Yeah, no, the emails are more important, so I'm like looking at this. Yeah, that's fine, you know, because I have a whole another life that, you know, that is separate from you, Jesus. I'm okay with that. And this is our expectation. And then we're like, why people are not really getting into worship? Because the first part is they have not positioned themselves towards him. They have basically positioned themselves to everything else. They're taking in the sights of the room. Welcome to pipes. Welcome to lights. Welcome to smoke machines. Welcome to the music. Welcome to the sound. But forget about Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's what it has become. Here's Jesus. Okay, Jesus. Like, okay. I'm come close to you. Come a little closer. I could be over there and I'm still towards him, but come a little closer. I could be standing at the back of the room where the exit is. I'm so close from leaving this church and I'm really by that door. But Jesus is not worried about which church you go to. He's like, hey, come a little closer. Let me just talk to you. You know, can you smell the perfume from here? Can you smell Jesus' perfume from here? Or do I have to come close to smell it? How would you know what perfume he's wearing? How would you know that who he is, how his face looks like? Does he glisten? Maybe. Does he have sparkle on his face? Until you come closer, you'll never know. You'll just think he's like, hey, yeah, he's supposed to be this very awesome guy, you know, who's very powerful, but I wouldn't know. Somebody will tell me about it. They'll teach me about it. But, hey, to me, Jesus, to ask John. John says this all the time. Hey, but Jesus was not white. He this is his thing, right? Because John goes around the world and to make people feel very this thing. He's like, hey, Jesus was not white. Yeah, but what is he? Is he brown as me? Is he lighter than me? How would you know? Jesus will come to you the way he wants you to know him. He will reveal himself to you the way he wants. People will know. Your heart will burn. Those disciples walking down Emmaus, basically their hearts burned. They didn't even bother to look towards Jesus, but their hearts burned. Oh, yeah, so you felt good during worship, but even if your heart was not turned towards Jesus. Wow, possible? Yeah. Yeah, because of his goodness. Because he is good. This is the reality of worship in church. And we try to go towards revival. Why? Why? Because it feels like we're doing a good work. We're basically trying works and saying, hey, church is supposed to do that. Somebody gave us a list and saying, if you're not in revival, then you're not a good church. If you don't have so many numbers, that means you're not a good church. But hey, according to Jesus, just come towards me. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. All my life, I'm only walking closer to him until one day I walk away like Enoch and I be with him who is always on the throne. That's it. Can you imagine your tombstone? What is your tombstone wanting to be said? Think about it. Go write it down. You know what I want my tombstone to say? I've always said this. Here lies a man who enjoyed God. Not he would enjoy God, not he will enjoy God, now he's in eternity. No, I enjoyed God while I was on earth. That the reality of who he is becomes greater and the magnitude of it increases when I am in heaven. And so even the reality I pray for heaven on earth comes from that understanding I'm enjoying him. I just enjoy this Jesus. Wow. So you could have that heaven on earth experience here? Yeah. Very possible. Everybody who told you, like, you know, hey, tone it down, this thing and all. Just say, hey, sure. This is when you tell me something and I don't believe in it, I say, uh-huh, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. Court is not able to sometimes do that. Court gets, you know, very proper. It's like, no, I can't say I don't mean. I was like, I'm not saying anything. I was like, huh? Like, ha-ha means like, yes. Yeah, but you believe in it, huh? That's my Indian thing. Ha-ha means yes in Hindi. So it's like, you know, and I go like, you know, I just like smile. Yeah, you can't go wrong with a smile. Am I teaching you wrong stuff? I don't even know now. It's like, but I'm teaching you something. It's like, you know, when you know the reality in your heart, be true to that. Tomorrow is not going to come, and God, when, you know, we stand before him, we're not going to say, hey, Alan told me to do this, and that's why I did that. It's going to say, hey, what did I tell you? What did I speak to you in that whisper of your heart? What did I write in your dreams? Your instruction for your lives are sealed in your dreams. You know? And it's funny. So, coming back to you. Yeah, let's do this now. No, but yeah, I waited all this time to figure this out. So, you know, on Wednesday, we had this ladder over here. Okay, so there was this ladder. And everybody's praying. You know, everybody's very intense about their praying and all. And I'm sitting at the back, and all of my focus is on this ladder. And I'm like, I don't even know what happened, you know, all this. I'm just looking at this ladder and I'm like, God, why is this ladder here? You have to understand me. This is the same guy who wore this Sooner jersey today. It's the same guy who basically looked at this ladder and goes, is like, God, what are you speaking through this? There was a ladder, you know, an orange and silver ladder, like two-sided, and it was over there in the corner, just behind that worship, there'd be keyboards. And we are having prayer, there are 20 people or so, and we are praying, and I just feel this ladder, and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. And then the only reference I have, you know, in my head is Jacob's ladder. You know, when Jacob basically had the dream, and it was like angels were going up and down, and they were bringing, like, you know, the messages and all. And I just I was like, okay. So I went to look at that, this thing, the story of it. Jacob was in a very tough place, okay? And he basically went to sleep on a rock. And how many of you have heard the saying, between the rock and a hard place? He went to sleep on the stone, okay? So the rock is Jesus, the stone is this hard place. And it feels like, you know, you come to this place where, hey man, this is, we're doing this every day. And I kind of explained it a little bit, was like, you know, I just, well, okay, today I'm just going to rest on this stone. It will be better tomorrow, it will, this thing, you know, things will change. What was funny is that Jacob took that stone and put it as his memorial and called it the house of God, Bethel. That became this thing. This is your first church that you will be working on. This is one of the many churches you're going to be working on. And it always felt this, and I was trying to explain, it's like, it just felt they were, you were going to come back to this place. You were going to come back to this place. And the coming back is the part that you would do this many a times. You'll be putting churches into places. And it will, like, you know, feel like this. But you, in your mind, you, and your heart, you'll know that. It's like, yeah, that initial thing was hard. To build the house of God was hard. And it feels this way. But I just feel this grace that God is telling you. It's like, hey, after that, things changed. You know, and even though it seemed like so crazy and it feel like all these years and all these months were just difficult, it just will get better. It's going to get better. And you're going to come to this place where you're going to set these churches up multiple times over, you know, because it's the house of God. And it will be about worship. Because that, what Jacob put was that stone, that hard place. Because in my mind, I was going as like, God, it could be for everybody here. It is for everybody here. It is like this hard place that you're at, which you basically are just putting your head down and going to sleep and say, okay, God, just give me rest. Oh, my God, oh, my God. It's going to become your part of your worship. It's going to be things that you're going to basically bring before God and will be a memory. And you'll basically say, it's like, hey, but this is now the house of God. That what was difficult for me, I'm bringing it in worship, and that becomes the house of God, that God is able to do what he wants to do. And there'll be things that God will do through you. And there'll be things, and even right now, I feel the shift. I feel the shift, the shift, the shift, the shift. The shift is not only just in that, about the location. The shift is even in the heart. The shift is even in the mind. The shift is even in that stone. And saying that, oh, because the devil wants to take the stone and put it like a millstone around you and say, oh, no, you're going down, you're going down, you're going down. No, but if I give it to Jesus and I say, this is what I worship, this is the Lord of worship, this is the worship, and it will become the house of God. And that's what you will have, multiple revelations of what is the house of God, what stones are being taken to put towards that. Living stones, living stones. That hard stone is going to become a life stone because of worship. The life of God into that. And so I release that shift. Now is. Ah. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I just feel that. And so every person in this place, I do not know where, whatever the difficult thing is. You have a choice today. You have a choice today to take that stone, and instead of saying that, oh, this is all I have, this is the stone, hey, this same God can make the stones into bread, can change anything. He is a good father. Why would he give you a stone? There is an understanding of that stone. That one stone is able to take down giant. That one stone is able to take down Goliaths in your life. That one stone is able to do. Now, when you sleep, when you lay down on that, when you think about it, think like that. Think like, what is God able to do? What is this God who is good? He was a good father, able to change of me being at this place. He could do it for Jacob. He could do it for Jacob. But Jacob, didn't matter how bad he was, didn't matter what kind of a liar, supplanter he was, Jacob was ready to worship. Jacob was ready to take that stone and put it before God and said, God, here is a memorial. I do not know if I'm going to live or die the next 10 steps I take, the next journey I make, but I will still put this over here. Let this memorial speak to you. Let this memorial always be known that you are faithful, that you brought me right now, right here, today to this place. That same Jesus, the King eternal, immortal, is here. He is here. He is here. He's raising those things, that stone. He's saying, yeah, let me make that. Let me make that. Give it to me. Let me show you. Worship. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Just hold my mic. Yeah. Every stone, Kirk. Every stone that you have been through hard places many a times. You have been through these hard places many a time. And you've been there just saying, it's like, oh God, it feels like I have a bag of stones. I just have a bag of stones. I just have a bag of stones. How, God, do I feel that I'm just carrying a bag of stones? Now just turn it to Jesus. Only he can change it. Only he can change it. Only he can change it. Only he can change it, Kirk. Just give him every stone. I would just dump the bag at him. Just dump the bag at him. Don't even try to pull out every stone and say, okay, Jesus, now we'll do one for one trading. And we're just going to take one and then we'll hope for the next one. No. Now, he is your hope eternal. He is your hope eternal. So every shame, we knock it off you. Every shame, we knock it off you. Yeah, yeah, your years of running. Now it's time to be established. Now it's time to be established. So listen, so listen, so listen. Listen, listen. Listen, yeah, focused and listen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm just going to go to the second part of what worship is. Kinyo, and it's basically saying kiss, to kiss. And you know, when we are children, we say, give a flying kiss, and we do this. Sometimes we're bringing to God our flying kisses, and that's cute. That's cute. Yeah, like I kiss God, like, you know, when I'm in worship, I was like, Jesus, I just kiss you. Kiss the sun. Bible says, kiss the sun. And okay, just come here. Yeah, just stay there now. Flying kiss. You know, flying kiss. Is this kissing distance? Let me ask you this question. Is this kissing distance? For a flying kiss, yes. I could be like, turn my back to her. I could do that, you know. And this is this kissing distance. Yeah. I can give you a whole theory and PhD doctrine about that was kissing distance. It's saying lay down before them, you know, and give your worship. Or I could come close. Am I still kissing distance? I'm closer. Come a little closer. Am I still kissing distance? Yeah, let me try. Yeah, I'm still doing the worship, right? That means your worship can increase. Your worship can be better. And I'm coming here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, put your hand out here. Oh, mwah. Oh, wait, wait, we just had revival. Do you understand? Do you understand? And sometimes this is where we are. We're at a juncture where we have to basically choose what we are basically calling revival. Yeah. I'm sorry. Lord, we are sorry, God. We are sorry, God. Because what is kissing distance to you, we have defined it. We have never asked you, God, what is kissing distance to you? What is kissing distance to you? Come speak to our hearts, God. Just speak to our hearts. Yeah. And then come closer. And I come closer. And I come closer. And I just stand here. Face to face. Face to face. The bride stands before the bridegroom, Jesus. And stands face to face. Are you within that kissing distance now? Kiss the Son. Just kiss the Son. This is where God is calling you. This is where God is calling you. Where He wants to plant His kisses on you. Where He wants to. Oh, that's the kissing ground. We want revival. Let's make that kissing ground our worship. Let's understand what worship is. You will have revival. You could sit. This is what it is. This is what it's coming down to. We want revival. This is where it is. And see the last part of it. It says, suggests. Never tells you this is how you have to. It suggests the willingness to make all necessary physical gestures of obeisance. What is required of you? What is the Spirit of God telling you? Do you have to kneel down? Sure. Kneel down if God tells you to. Do you have to raise your hands? Sure. Do what God tells you to. You know, don't make it about, oh, it looks good if I do this. Just do what God tells you to do. Right? Worship from this kissing distance. You know how close I see Jesus every time? I'm literally telling you, I have His face literally this close to me. I open my eyes and all I can see is His eyes. And then you wonder why I feel so emotional, why I feel so, It's because this is how close His face is when I close my eyes to just worship. His breath is so close, and then you wonder, oh, why wouldn't He tell me the words of knowledge? Wouldn't He tell me the secrets of people's heart? Yes, He would, because I'm breathing the very breath of God. I'm breathing the pneuma of God. Ha! I'm not trying to do stuff. I don't have stuff. I just stay in that breath of God. Stay in that breath of God. Put your hand before you and breathe into it and see how close that breath is. That's how close you have to be to even function, right? You know, we believe the gift of God is like, you know, but to really move in that pneuma of God, in that living breath of God, that's how close you'd have to be to Him. Get to that place. Get to that place. There's a song I've just been singing and singing and singing. And doesn't require any instrument. And you can put that thing up. It's a very simple song. I don't know who all sang it. I think Don Moen and all sang it. And you all may know this better than me. It just was like, I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Just, you know, without any kind of difficulty of like bringing this worship to him, we can sing. We don't need any instruments. We can just sing this. So let's just sing that. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Just in singing the song, we have declared he is almighty. There is none like him. That is true. You have declared truth in your own life. This is the revelation that he seeks. He is the Prince of Peace. That's all what you want. You want peace in your life, but you're searching it at all the wrong places. This is where he is. In just a simple worship, in just these few words, you're redefining your understanding of who he is. It didn't take any instrument. It didn't take anything. It just took you connecting to the Spirit of God, singing it with the truth, Spirit and truth, and unlocking that he is almighty. He is the Prince of Peace, and there is none like you. There is none like you, Jesus. So we just bring you all our praise from this day on. We just bring you all our praise, and we just worship you and say, Jesus, unto you be all our praise. Unto you be all the gathering of the people. Unto you be all our worship forever and ever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed.